Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders! Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Grab your happiest thought, I did it without coughing this week, and fly away with me to Neverland, because I am Jeremy, I am your spider pin. Hello, how is that? Nice to be flying with you. Flying the friendly skies again. This all happened once, and it's all happening again. That's a clue to something's coming. We'll talk about that here in a second. But hey, Lost Boy Phil, the Kryptonian, is with us.
Hey, how's it going there?
It is going very well, isn't it? It's a wonderful day in the Beauty Wood.
Yes.
But this is going to be a bit of a different show. I haven't got a chance to really prepare too much material for us to talk about, but I think we're still going to have some fun just kind of chilling. I've been working on, we're kind of in new formats. There is, by the way, if you hit the shop button on NeverlandPodcast.com, you can get a new shirt. I got some new artwork here, which I don't know if I'll get a chance to actually slap onto this episode. But James Kennison of That Story Show, I have paid him to do me a 16-bit style looking castle. So we have a brand new logo, and finally we have our subtitle on there, which we've been using for a long time. It's been in iTunes and everywhere, but we just haven't had the logo stuff up for it. But you can get this shirt on our shop. You can also see it now on our Facebook page. It's up there. I'm working on getting the website will be up and everything. We're getting reformatted. And by the way, we're going to have a new opening. And in fact, a few new openings. I'm putting together a few different ideas that might give the theme of that particular episode.
And what's that?
So, let's hear it.
All this has happened before.
Almost definitely.
And it will all happen again.
Well, he didn't get to the word long when he let out what has to be the most monumental fart.
Why are there Christmas lights all over the place?
Some of them were already disturbed.
Well, what if I did that now?
A ghost will follow you home.
No, they won't in the name of Jesus. So, that's right.
All right, so any direct thoughts on this? Is more, if we're going to do an episode that I think is mainly funny, this clip, and these are all clips that I've previously had on the show for the most part, except for the lines from Peter Pan, which we're going to have regularly.
Well, but, of course.
So,
Mr. Neverland.
Yeah, so this has been, of course, I had to have a good old Eric there with his, most definitely. But this is just a lot of just funny things or things that not necessarily were funny, but I put it together with some other stuff, and it becomes funny.
Gee, I wonder who that was laughing.
Oh, yeah, you can hear me laughing hysterically. Of course, now this is unfinished. I'm going to be putting some music. We need to have some stuff to introduce the show, introduce me, so I can just jump right in, and here I am. But I want to know what you all think. So just, hey, send me an email. If you've never emailed before, it's podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Shoot an email at me. Let me know what you think about this particular opening. It's not perfected yet. I'm still working on it. But when I played it for Eric, he said, well, that's quite different. And it is. I'm trying to reflect more of what people have said about the show. There's people who said, hey, this show is pretty funny. And so I want to play up the fact that we're funny, because we're not. I don't want to be the typical Disney show, because we do some Disney news around here, but we've never been the typical type of show. We've been our own thing, and we're just having fun, and we're hoping you're having fun with us. And we talk about anything we want to. But because we do want to talk a little bit of Disney stuff here, we'll get in just a little bit of stuff here.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
First off, the elephants in the room. Bob Iger stepping down, Bob Chapek stepping in. Now, Phil, are you familiar with Bob Chapek?
I don't know who that is.
Well, he has been head of the parks, Disney parks. For, a long time. I've pulled up some information about him.
So I heard the name, but I don't know who it is.
Where's my page here? I just had it up here. So he is an American media executive businessman. He's chief executive officer now of the Walt Disney Company. And before that, he was chairman of Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products. Now, I don't find this to be... A lot of people were kind of shocked by this. Like, what? What? But Iger's time, he was retiring in 2021. Now, it makes sense to me, maybe that last year, you want to go ahead and try to get a successor in there, and you stay on. He's going to be, in a creative capacity, Bob Iger is sticking around, so he can help with the transition from Bob Chapek to step in. And it makes sense, spending his last year before he retires from Disney, to pass it on to the new guy. So, I didn't expect him announcement. I didn't know that was coming. But, I mean, this just seems like a very natural progression. And I think it's a very good choice. I think Chapek has been around for a long time. He's used to running things in the parks, and Bob Iger has done a lot of good things, I think, in his time, although some other people have been really infuriated with some of the stuff Bob Iger has done. Overall, it's a transition. I don't think he's been bad for the company so much. Bob Chapek is going to step in. So, but yeah, I don't guess you not really have much to add to that.
Not necessarily, because I don't know enough about him to say anything intelligent about it. I do know that in my opinion, the parks have been doing very, very well. And so I don't know what he's, brought into it.
Yeah.
If I say something about him and then it ends up not being something he did, I'm going to sound like an absolute idiot, which I'm good at.
But, I think he's capable, though. So we'll see what he does in the position of CEO of the Walt Disney Company, which was effective immediately. Some other things happening around Disney right now is... did you hear about the sinking of a Jungle Cruise ship?
No. What happened?
I'm not sure exactly what caused the sinking. I should have read up on this a little bit more, but I just feel like, whoa, that was kind of surprising.
Now, where was this
they
at?
Did, this is Walt Disney World.
Oh, my goodness.
But they did. Disney takes really good care of their guests.
Sure.
So they went through and they got everybody some new clothes and gave everybody a bunch of fast passes from what I've heard. And so they're taking good care of everybody that
they kinda, most certainly do take care of it.
You go down with the ship, and at least you're not going to drown. But that water is disgusting on the Jungle Cruise, and I know very well that nobody really wants to get into that water. Only other thing, and I can speak to this a little bit, because I've watched the video, Disneyland has debuted their new parade.
Oh.
Magic Happens.
I've heard of that. I think you and I have spoken about this. You mentioned
it was
the name.
Yeah, we mentioned it was coming. However long ago it was, we mentioned it.
A couple months ago. Maybe a month ago.
Yeah. I got to watch some video. I can't say I'm a big fan of the music. Doesn't have that timeless. It's very modern poppy for the Magic Happens stuff. And that doesn't have that timeless quality that Disney should have. The floats looked amazing.
Sure.
The first float had, of course, they wanted to get everybody, Mickey, Donald, Goofy, and all of them out of the way in the beginning of it.
Of course, yeah.
They're wearing kind of a blue-themed outfit with a blue-themed float. Mickey, of course, riding the float, everybody else on foot. Well, the costumes were okay. There was one thing that some of the humans walking with them, this one girl had this giant white headdress wig that was huge. It looked awful. It looked like something out of a really bad Tim Burton movie. And when he makes a bad movie,
that was the first thing I was thinking of. Some sort of Tim Burton Nutcracker-ish.
It is with the makeup. It looked like the makeup was on her face. Just it looked terrible because it was trying to be all blue with white. And but then you have this fantastic Moana float. They have like even there's like this wave coming up behind her. Moana's riding on there, waving at everybody.
That sounds good.
And there's like a screen showing stuff. Which
like a movie screen or
like it? Well, yeah, like a Titantron-ish.
Oh, cool.
You know, like because you know you can thin screens nowadays. So it's more like this wave, and you can see there's this screen. It looks like ocean life was going by on it. So that looked really neat. And then another criticism though is here comes Maui on his own little float.
Aww.
The costume. I always have a problem when they have a human character and they put a weird, oversized, goofy-looking mask on him.
Yeah.
It always looks bad to me.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I get it. And some characters like him, I can understand why they do it.
Yeah, I can understand it. But I think you could have found a big Polynesian muscular guy to maybe play the thing and then maybe paint the tattoos on him or something.
Yeah.
This is... Okay, you've seen how Sully is for Sully because he's got oversized arms. You know, he can't really grab things in the arms because somebody's just working the arms with their arms inside. That's what Maui is. He's a big, oversized costume, and his hands are permanently done in these, like, because you can't point, so he's kind of like a G.I. Joe figure. He's got, like, a grip-looking thing, and you can see the guy's trying to, like, wave and point, but it doesn't look like a wave and point.
Now,
he's
wait a minute.
He's got, like, big gorilla arms.
Now, wait just a second here. Don't you know about G.I. Joe? They had a kung fu grip.
Oh, I know. But you know, I just meant that as an example.
I was just kidding.
He's got these fixed hands, so he can't move his hands at all.
I know what you're saying. What you're saying is that he looks almost like a model, like a...
It don't look right.
Yeah, like a statue is what I meant to say.
Yeah, it don't look... I mean, because he can move, and there's a guy in the thing, but it just don't look very good. Because he can't move his hands,
well,
he can't wave at people.
Because now that we have these... because we have these spooky looking masks of Mickey and them, and I say spooky in the sense that when you're a kid, that Mickey and them had these masks that we understood that there's the cartoon Mickey, and then you had the Mickey Mouse costume Mickey, and they weren't very animated. Nowadays, they're so animated that there's almost a spookiness about it. I mean, I love it.
Now they can blink and they
can
talk.
I love it, but it's almost scary looking. And so with Maui, if he's not very animated, that's almost
bizarre. He's animated as much as a human in a costume can be, except for the face doesn't move, the hands don't move.
That's what I mean. It's almost
stuck in the rock eyebrow.
Yeah, forever.
I think they could have gotten a human to just be Maui, and people would have gone for it.
There's definitely I'm assuming this is Florida, right?
No, this isn't Disneyland.
Okay, so
this is
either way. In Florida and California, I'm assuming you could have gone to Gold's Gym.
Polynesian, Hawaiian.
You could have gone to probably any beach.
Any gym.
Found.
You could have found a guy who'd been like, find a retired wrestler. I don't know.
Or you could have got a guy and put a costume around the body. And had the face.
But let him have a face.
Yeah, I agree.
Put a long hair wig on if you need to, but so that way he's not so weird looking, and let him have hands.
Yeah.
So he can wave and not be, I'm pointing my fist at everyone, So, but the floats were really cool, and I love that behind the float and in between the floats they had like Polynesian style dancers, dancing in the full dress, and it was really cool. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff
this.
So I got a lot more positive from what I saw in this video than the negative. But then there was I love this Coco float.
Oh, really?
So the front of the float, Miguel is up on kind of a gazebo kind of thing. And he's got his guitar and pretending to play guitar,
fun.
It's Miguel. He's wearing a big face thing too, but you're trying to make a full size person look like a child. So I get it. You have to do what you have to do at that time. But at least he can move his hands.
Now, are we talking about, whenever Miguel is,
a kid?
Yeah, he's in the other world yet, or?
I'll get into that, because this is really cool how they did this. So, Miguel is in this gazebo, and he's in the land of the living. He looks very much living Miguel.
Okay.
Behind him is like this, the flower bridge thing.
There you go.
And through it, you can see, I can't remember the dog, Diego, is that the dog?
I think that's his name.
I'm probably getting that wrong, I apologize. But you see the dog kind of jumping through the flowers, but as he jumps to the second jump, he's in his guardian form on the second jump, so he's crossing the bridge, and like halfway through, he becomes his guardian form.
Now
that's really cool.
I don't even thought that, but well done.
On the other side of the bridge, there's this stage, and over there, you have, I'm forgetting names, but you have like his grandparents. Yeah. Who are now reunited and performing together. So, you know, his grandmama is singing, and the one character, and I forgot his name, I love that guy too. He's playing guitar, but they're singing together. They're performing together. They're like these, not really marionettes, but they looked real, like skeleton guys, but not so much that they're scary looking, but they're dancing and singing together. Looks great. It is very cool.
You know, Disney has
a way. Why am I forgetting names of that?
Disney, you know, they know how to find great talent. So,
yeah.
You know, I admire these people who have such a great knack of coming up with the idea. Not just the fact that they can do it, but the definitely Imagineers, because you have to have a great ability and imagination to come up with this, the idea of this. And, you know, we can look at it and say,
bring a movie to life.
Oh, sure, it's Disney. They can do that easily. No, no, no. You have to have a talent. Yeah, God-given talent and ability, you know, to think that through. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's great.
It is really cool. I can't think of what... Yeah, it was mainly like the first few floats were trying to be modern. I think that after this one might have been they had a Frozen themed, which is... It's a new one, so it's kind of Frozen 2. And it was just your standard, oh, look, here's Anna and Elsa. Okay. You know, and it was neat looking.
Yeah.
But I didn't really find anything that spectacular about it. They don't really have to be spectacular. They had a really kind of fun Olaf on kind of the midway in there, kind of moving and waving. He was an animatronic. But on the back of it, there's Sven, who's just kind of turning his head, looking at that side, looking at that side. So it's cute. It was pretty good. But here's what I found to be interesting, because clearly they're playing to the children.
Sure.
Who maybe have seen these newer Disney films, but maybe haven't watched the classics, and so they won't care. This is the world of Disney Plus. All these classics are right there available. But this is Disney once again saying, oh, we know we got some objectionable content in our classics. That's at least what I took from this. But I'm probably, I know, I might be stretching that. But all of your classic characters you might want to see are all just walking on foot in a little section next. I saw Pinocchio walking, the fairy godmother was walking, but a lot of their classic film characters, just a group of them, Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, but they're just walking and greeting, which... I was like, oh, well, golly, all at once. Don't get their own thing. And I know you're probably limited for the amount of floats you can do. But I was like, that's a little disappointing that some of the classic characters are kind of reduced to that. But then, you know, Cinderella did have a single person float to kind of come an eye on so she could wave. And then we did have Tiana and Naveen together dancing on another small float. I mean, just a circle with some, I mean, they looked really cool, though.
Yeah.
Not taking away from these floats. They were really neat, especially the Princess and the Frog one was very swamp looking, and surrounding them was like the white swirls of magic, like when they were transforming.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was really cool.
Well thought out.
So they were neat. They were neat floats, but I was like, well, you know, I feel like the classic characters didn't get enough. I love the classic characters. That might be why I noticed.
Maybe, and let's not forget, if it weren't for the classic characters, you wouldn't have these.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say half and half characters, but in my opinion, some of these modern characters are just okay.
I don't know if they all are going to have the staying power of some of these classic films, but that might be just our opinion.
So what you're talking about earlier, though, there's a timelessness
about the old quality.
It's something that somebody said to me one time about Aladdin. And when it first came out, someone said that Aladdin is a great film, but it's not timeless. And by the way, I'm sorry for you fans. They're right. I love Aladdin.
The jokes were very modern.
But the jokes fit 1992.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't fit. And right now, you're probably booing me. It's okay. You can boo me all you want.
That doesn't mean it's not a great
joke. No, we love it. But yeah. Jack Nicholson, kids now have asked me, I've had a million kids ask me, I don't get it. They're quoting it and they love it, but they don't know it.
They don't get it. He even did a few characters.
Adults don't even know.
When I was a teenager, when it came out, I didn't know who that person was supposed to be.
There's a Republican speaker that they're quoting in that film that most adults even now don't know it because they were young then. They don't get it. And I've had to explain to them who it was. And other people, you know, quid pro quo and all that, you know, they didn't understand that. I'm sorry, I can't think of his name right now. But I do know him. I only knew him because I've listened to Rush Limbaugh and stuff, and that's how I found out who he was. But that's the reason why I knew who he was. And he was a good man. But the fact of the matter is, Robin Williams knew of him, and so he joked about him.
And he was very, very, very
famous at the time. But that was at that time. The whole point is that as great as that is, and Robin Williams, brilliant, talented man with voices and stuff, I mean, he could do so many more expressions. I mean, imitations. He could have imitated so many other people, too. Problem with that is like you go another 30 years from now, the kids are going to say, who's that? They're not going to recognize who Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
That'd be unfortunate.
Yeah, it would be. But, now, you know, on the other hand.
You know, it was one of the things, if I had kids, you know, I would want to show them some of the things I enjoyed as a child. So they can experience them. And I love that Disney Plus has some of the old Disney afternoon cartoons.
I always love Aladdin. I don't want to think I don't like
it.
I love it.
Yeah, love the movie. But it's nice to be able to show all these old shows to kids with Disney Plus. And if you're a parent, I'm sure you've gotten that kind of joy to be able to show the old DuckTales or old Gummy Bears episodes to your kids. I bet you're having a ball doing that. I know I would. But anyway,
I'm thrilled to have Disney Plus, yes.
Yeah, but moving from there. I mentioned, of course, we had Cinderella had her own little
Now, are these just the movies, or was there anything like any TV shows? Are these just the films? Besides Mickey and them. I mean, was there any other?
No, they all mainly do movie characters in these. The only other, the finale, Big Flo, and it's because, of course, there's been another Maleficent movie, so it's, you know, but it was stylized, and it was really cool looking. It was stylized toward the old Sleeping Beauty, and you had the three fairies, and the art style was matching the float.
Well, that's good.
So that Sleeping Beauty kind of rounded up the, I don't recall if there was anything after that.
At least she got her own float.
Yeah. Well, but that's because of Maleficent.
Well, sure.
So they were really focused on a lot of their modern stuff and their modern outings, which I understand because it's what would be your current stuff, and you're, you know, trying to make sure the kids are enjoying
and
it.
And you're also trying to, let's be honest, I mean, they're still trying to sell.
Yeah, they are. They're selling.
And that makes some sense.
And it's not a bad parade by any stretch. I wasn't really a fan of the music. It didn't have that timeless quality that I expect from Disney. Although you do have some, like, remixed versions of music from the movies, of course, as each float comes by. But overall, it's a good parade. I don't think it's as good as some of the other ones, but I thought it was neat. It was really cool. The flakes are the floats are pretty awesome.
I thought
you expect an awesome float because it's Disney.
Oh, they don't.
So of course, when they have a float, they don't have to half, man.
They go all the way.
They're going to put out the best floats, and they are. The floats are fantastic. So you know what? It's an enjoyable parade. If you're in Disneyland, make sure you check it out. What did I say it was called? Here Comes the Magic, or something like that. Magic Happens is the name of the place. Definitely check it out. I think that you'll have a good time watching it. I don't think it's one of their best, but it's definitely really good.
Yeah.
We're review other couple things before we get into what's going on with Just Life.
Well, while we're talking about the parade, I have a question for you, Jeremy.
All right, I might have an answer.
All right, if you had to choose of your favorite of the Disney parades, what would be your favorite that you ever did?
Now, I'm limited because I've only seen a few, and I haven't seen video of everything. But one of this is tough because they both were special. Everything I saw, because walking in there, having dreamed of always dreaming of going to a Disney park, and the first thing I see is this parade coming down, and they're singing "Celebrate a Dream Come True." Sorry, I'm not trying to get through. I'm trying not to choke up.
Okay.
But that meant so much to me.
Isn't that nice?
And people were like, the celebrations for people at that point were bored of it. But I'd never seen it. I'd never heard it. But when they were coming to saying that, I was like,
they were capturing your emotion. That, you know, they really did.
That hit me because I'm like, I'm here. Finally, I'm here. And they're singing. It's like they were singing to me.
Yeah.
So that was special. But then, like, that night, Spectrum Magic. I love the music of Spectrum Magic.
Yeah.
I'd never gotten to see the light up parades. It was fantastic, and I loved Spectrum Magic. It was so cool. I wish I had more video of it, but I mean, it was really hard to see because, you know, we didn't get there in time to, you know, to get in the crowd because everyone to see, because those nighttime parades are beautiful and fantastic. So absolutely adore Spectrum Magic. And then before we left, I got to see they had the Pixar dance party, and I just love Pixar. So those are my top three, because, and they're all equal because they're all special because they're the ones I saw in person. And it was my first time seeing stuff, but especially, you know, celebrating the dream come true, you know, singing that at me when I was walking in the gate.
That's great.
Spectrum Magic, I love. Some people were like, Spectrum Magic wasn't as good as the Main Street Delightful Parade. And I'm like, well, maybe not. But I've never seen the Main Street Delightful Parade.
See, now that's the one.
Magic, and the music of Spectrum Magic was beautiful.
With me growing up, the Main Street Electrical Parade is what I saw a few times. And I also had the record growing up. And so that's what when I think of a Disney parade, maybe it's because of habit, or maybe it's just because of memory and the emotion it brought me as
there
a kid. But that's what
I think
of mostly. In fact, there's a part in the Electrical Parade that has Elliot. the dragon.
Yeah.
And I always think of him.
Yeah.
And then I think of Tron, and that has to do with the fact of the 30th anniversary of Disneyland. On TV, they had the Elliot coming out there.
Yeah.
And they had Tron people dancing with him, which I still love. And every time I hear new, and here's the beautiful thing. They had the Pointer Sisters singing, doing the Neutron dance. But they had the Neutron dance, they had the Neutron dance.
Yes.
And doing the Neutron dance. And so to this day, when I think of that, I think of the Electric Parade. Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
But I think of Tron.
Sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm connecting all the dots together, you know?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
It's hilarious.
But it's all about what it means to you when you see it. See, it's that emotion, the nostalgia, the feeling you get watching, that's what makes it your favorite.
Yeah, and I also love...
I guess people who are there all the time, they'll pick it by guess, well, this one had this, this one had that, but for, you know, people like me and like, you know, you know. Guy.
I love the Christmas one.
I want to see the Christmas ones. I really do.
Celebrate the man.
Especially the one that has music from Scrooge in it. Yeah,
I remember when my dad was there, this is 10 years ago.
Wow. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, 10 years ago, if I could talk about this, I'll get emotional.
Oh, yeah.
He was passing away, and he left 10 years ago last week. It was 10 years ago last week. But he, just before that, the Christmas before that, we went to Disneyland. And my dad loved the musical Scrooge. And,
yeah.
And that was his favorite of the Christmas movies. And when we were there together, and they started singing some songs from Scrooge on there, and my dad's eyes kind of lit up and he smiled one of the things my father
and
I
Christmas.
Yeah and he just really lit up to that and then whenever it was done we all went over to this corner and we found eggnog and we were drinking that, and that was pretty awesome.
I was watching the video. I was wishing I was with you all, man.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Well, so, that, and then also I love the this is Halloween. I love that. That's a great parade too.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of great parades. Let's be honest. Just about every parade they do is going to be awesome.
Even when they're bad, they're good.
Yeah.
You would have Bad Castle Designs for what? Those 50 year where they had the big cake castle. But it still was.
It was still fun.
It was still a big castle.
I went to it. I seen it in person. You know, it tasted good. No, I'm kidding.
but speaking of like being able to review things, you actually have a movie review for us. So
yeah. There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Maybe a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie.
Starring everybody.
And me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
So, this was not technically Disney, but it was, because it was a Fox release.
Mm-hmm.
Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford.
Yes. Now, I personally liked The Call of the Wild. I'm not very hard to please when it comes to certain movies. And I think something that helps with me is some films I don't expect much out of. Now, some movies I do. Some movies I don't. You go see a Star Wars movie for me. Some of those movies I expect to see a lot out of. Some I don't. But when it comes to The Call of the Wild, I went there. First of all, I didn't pay for it. My brother-in-law did. But someone else did. But also, when I went with some people I love. So I went and saw it, and I didn't know what to think at first. And I'd watched a couple critics speak of it, and they talked poorly about some animation of the dog. I heard he was a computer animated.
Yeah, and I even said something when I saw the trailer. Like, it's kind of funny how much complaints they got with The Lion King, that they were very realistic, and they didn't have over-animated.
Yeah.
So then it almost seemed like Call of the Wild was trying to make up for that. Overly animating the dog.
Yeah,
which weirdest, because you got, was it London? Jack London?
Jack London, yeah.
Is that the name of the author? And he writes very dire and serious novels.
I won't lie and say I ever read the novel. Not this
I
one.
I wouldn't want to read, because I've seen it, just even seen in the movies based off his stuff. They're just too
They're very serious.
Yeah.
But in this case, at least in this movie, it's family friendly, which I like.
They're lightened up.
Yeah, because, you know, quite frankly... we got enough of unfriendly, family-friendly stuff out there. And it's nice that you can take your kids to see this. And I was with my nephews and all. We went and saw it. Had a lot of fun with it. And what I do like about it is the fact that at first, when I heard so much about this dog, that they said it's got so much humanoid-looking expressions on it, I heard. And at first I was like, yeah, that's going to be kind of weird. So as it starts off, I see these humanoid expressions that you see on a dog. But as the time goes by, the film is narrated, of course, by Harrison Ford, who, let's be honest, man, that guy is so talented.
Because he's Harrison Ford.
He's Harrison Ford. It's great. His narration is great. But to me, as he's explaining this dog and he's narrating it, I understood why you couldn't just had a regular dog. I kept thinking when I heard different people talk about it, yeah, why didn't you just have a regular dog and have an animated dog for different stunts or whatever?
Yeah.
But first of all, you get that with so many other movies. When this movie started, and I understood it, because you have the narrator talking about what the dog was feeling and seeing and all, and whenever this dog looks up at you or looks at other things, it's kind of what the narrator was already thinking that the dog was thinking. And I think that you're kind of seeing what the narrator is talking about, and you're seeing his viewpoint of the dog. It's not so much, I'm not saying the dog wasn't thinking this, I don't know, but it's kind of what the human's idea of what this dog was going through. But I really like this dog. I liked the animal the way he is. I like the fact that, because he's not just your normal dog. He's kind of like a dog who thinks and a dog who goes through things. He kind of, I'm not going to tell you anything happens in the film. You can see it yourself. Yeah. But I like that you see that he changes throughout the film. He goes through different adventures, different times of his life, like we do. You do this job for a while, and through this job, you change. You go through this part of your life, and you change, and you have to make decisions. And you can see this dog goes through that. You know, you're called to do this, and you're called to do that, and then you see him changing his personality, and he's changing through these, and he has these expressions written. I was actually moved by this dog. Mm. And then I suddenly thought about it. Wait a minute. You're worried if you weren't even going to like this dog, and you started realizing this is not even a real dog. This is a computer animated dog.
This is a cartoon dog.
I was actually emotionally moved by this computer animated dog. And Harrison helps you move along because he's narrating it. But in reality, that dog, they did such a good job with animating it. In some ways, it helped me that he kind of had an animated look about him. It helped me with it. I liked it. I thought they did a good job.
Probably helps bring the kids along into the...
I think so.
Because it was a classic literature, and they're making it to where it's a little bit more kid-friendly, where a kid can understand maybe some of the themes that are in the story, perhaps.
And what he's thinking.
Might be what... Yeah. So it might help. Maybe it encourage kids to actually go and read some of
there's
these books.
There's a dog... I don't want to give anything away, but there's a dog who's... We'll just say kind of a bully. One dog is a bully, and... It helps to kind of see the expression of a, you know, like a mean expression from one dog. And you're not necessarily going to see that from a regular dog, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's kind of like makes a stand, you know, no, I'm not going to have that. So he kind of gives this brave look on his face. And that kind of, I liked it. I was like, I think we've all had to make a stand before. And I really connected to this dog. I liked him. I was like,
they did a good job making him a good character.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of character personality. And this is not to say I haven't liked any other dog films. And I'm not even a huge dog guy. I mean, I like dogs, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I don't go around going, oh, I got to go get me a dog. But when I left there, I was like, well, I wish I could have that dog.
Yeah. So overall, you recommend it definitely bring the kids. And
yeah,
have good a good
thumbs
time.
Up. Yeah, I like it. Especially it's a good family movie.
Yeah. Now, another film that I watched just this week, and you said you watched a couple of weeks. This, of course, is a straight-to-video release, and it's been out for a little while. But Superman, Reign of the Superman from Disney Animated. And right now, they're about to release Red Sun, I believe it's called, where it's the what-if world. I think you've got the comic of this, where what if Superman had, crash-landed in Russia.
Yeah, from DC. I haven't got the Russia one yet, but...
And that one's about to come out, or it might have come out this week. I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyways, I watched, and you watched, Reign of the Superman. I don't know if this was as good as The Death of Superman.
I like both.
Here's as enjoyable as Reign of Superman was, it was really cool. It had a lot of good story. There's just one huge thing that really, and it was towards the end, that crushed it for me, that I really did not like. Okay, so I want to be careful about giving away too much of the plot, but a lot of this is all right for. I've got to be careful about this. Let's just say Darkseid is involved, which I think he was kind of involved in the original comic version. But part of this is giving a lot of Metropolis citizens who want to step up and help one of these Supermen that they think might be the real Superman back. Because there's four different Supermen, and the question is, like, is John Henry items really possessed by the true spirit of Superman, you know, and that kind of thing. But so there's one particular Superman that the Metropolis people think, oh, he wants us to help in case something like Doomsday ever comes along. We get the chance to help out and we'll have superpowers. So they're innocent people. They want to help. But the devices they're getting hit with turn them into slaves of Darkseid, basically. So,
oh, yes, yes.
Now, here's what bugged me is at the end of it, when good has triumphed, these innocent civilians who are, you know, now this army are airborne.
Yeah.
And they're falling. And the Justice League is watching them fall, just watching them fall down.
Yeah.
Now, Superman probably fast enough he could catch and save them all.
But he doesn't know
this is going on when the real Superman comes back. So, I thought, okay, they'll find a way to have a happening, like somehow or another, they still have the powers before they hit the ground, and so they survived it. All you got was at the end, because you'd have established two characters, Eric and his wife or girlfriend, Becky. And we get onto the ground here, and Eric is there in his cyber form, and he turns back to normal with Becky over him. And the last thing we see is the sun going down, pile of bodies over, and Becky crying over Eric. And that's the last we see or hear of any of these people. So the Justice League stood there and watched as innocent people fell from the sky and splattered all over Metropolis.
Yeah, that bothered me too.
Bothered the heck out of me. Ruined the whole movie right there for me.
That bothered me too because it was...
You can hear I'm irritated by that, can't you?
It bothered me too because
That wouldn't happen in a Marvel movie. They would have tried. They might have failed, but they would have tried.
What bothered me about the thing was that they just didn't think all the way through. That almost as if these people, because these people that became these bot things, whatever you call them, they by choice became it.
But they wanted to help.
But they
were innocent
at the time. Weren't aware of what was going to happen. Right. They thought they were going to become supermen,
and they were going to help Superman out.
Yeah, and so
who wouldn't step up to help Superman?
So that I thought that they could have found a better ending in that
to
area.
Restore them. That's all it would have taken is them getting returned to normal and a happy ending.
Yeah,
because I mean, even like an old crossover with Justice League and the Avengers, the Justice League chastised the Avengers because you're not like idolized in your world and you don't have like in this perfect utopian world like what we kind of have because Metropolis is a utopia thanks to Superman, you know. And so they stood on that, and then I watched this movie, and here's the Justice League watching people fall, and they don't even try. I can understand if they tried and they couldn't save everybody, but at least we saved who we could.
Yeah.
Then, okay, cool. Go Justice League. Because that's what would have happened in the Marvel Universe. They would have failed, but they would have tried.
Most of the other cartoons.
But I mean, the Flash could have caught these. He's fast. He could have caught them all.
Yeah.
And where's the Flash?
Yeah.
I mean, Batman might have, you know, figured something out, you know. But, oh my gosh. They just watched. Justice League, you suck. I'm make mine Marvel. There you go. Period. End of story. Without Superman, you're nothing. And that's clearly because if Superman had been on Earth and not having to deal with all this stuff, Superman would have saved every single one of them because he's Superman. And that's why we love Superman.
That's right. Dog he's the one.
And I couldn't blame Batman for not being able to do it because he's still human and he's more of a crime fighter than he is a hero.
Yeah.
He's heroic in his own way. He still saved it from the Joker. But he's more of a crime fighter. But you have Green Lantern. Couldn't he not make a giant flipping green
That's
net?
What I was thinking. He said that.
They have the ability and they do nothing. I'm going to end up ranting on this, but yeah, so I can't recommend Reign of the Superman, and they've now put it together in a box set with Death of Superman, but Death of Superman, I liked it a lot better than that Doomsday cartoon, because they try to keep more to the comics of what happened, and it's a much better story, I think, in the comics of the terror of Doomsday, and as he's just marching across the land, just devastating these heroes until Superman goes up there to fight him. It's a great comic, and I think they did a great job with the newer version of the Death of Superman. And
the one thing we've talked about it before, one thing I did like about this new one with the Reign of Superman, they did try to put in some of the newer information sorry if I'm reading anything for anyone. In the newer comic books, there are certain things about Superboy that we know. It's part of the information. I'm not going to tell you, though.
Yeah.
There are certain things about Superboy that we know that, quite honestly, when it first happened, the Reign of Superman, not only did we not know about it, it wasn't written yet about Superboy and his DNA and all that.
Yeah, where it came from.
Where it came from and who he was from and all that. We just knew.
And we had some of the information, but not all of the information.
So in this... Because it's been written since then, it only took, 20 years to write it all. So they decided to, now that it's, a fact, if you want to call it that, they decided to add it into the film and say, okay, that's how it is. And so we're going to have it like it was always that way. because it's supposed to be always that way.
Yeah. Well, that's, you can retcon stuff in comic books. They do it all the time.
Yeah, you know.
So you can get away with it.
Recreate. DC is good at recreating.
It's like, so is Marvel. You know,
but yeah, nowadays,
they've
rewritten
Spider-Man
every
so
2 years. Every 2 years, DC's like, oh, by the way, you know, crisis on in your brain.
Thank you, Nick Spencer. He's slowly been putting Spider-Man back in order.
There you go.
That guy. And he's a good writer, too. I like Nick Spencer. And even Ryan Otley, I think, who's been drawing for Amazing Spider-Man. They're just a heck of a good team. Just, I love the art here lately on Amazing Spider-Man. I love the writing. So if you're reading some comics, you got to be reading some Amazing Spider-Man because it's been, frankly, amazing.
Good.
That's cheesy. Okay, so just quick life updates here before we wrap this up. This is something I've been kind of waiting before I tell Philip everything. Okay, and you've probably seen me ahead where I've mentioned this. The Missouri Net, which is a kind of a news affiliate thing for out the state of Missouri. And they're associated with a lot of different radio stations, television stations, whatever, that they get news for them. So, and being an affiliate, that means I can go through a certain website. I can grab audio from one of the reporters. I can grab their stories and I can use them on air. We're affiliated. They pay us, I think, even to be part of it. Well, I was invited on March 27th is when I'm going down. I'm going down to Jeff City to get a tour of the place. They're going to show me around Jefferson City. They said something about, hey, if I need a microphone, that they could get me a microphone. Now, I don't know what they mean by that. Like, they want to get me a little portable, like kind of what I'm using now. Or, I mean, I don't know what they want to do with that, but I've had thoughts in my head. They also thought it would be fun that night. They thought it would be fun to take me for a good touristy thing. There's a prison in Jefferson City that has a haunted tour or ghost tour. And we're going to go. So,
oh, yeah.
It might be fun. It's like, you know, me, I'm going to be just the right amount of skeptic. I'm going to try not to laugh at stuff. But I love a good ghost story. So I'm just going to like, okay, you know, tell me some good stories about this prison. And then I'll go home and go back to the hotel and try to sleep that night. But I've had this thought in my head that I want to do more than what I'm doing at the radio station. Right now, I'm a glorified news reporter. I'm not really much of a journalist, honestly. I can go and find the stories and report on the stories, much like I do here. Although I do better at my job than I do here sometimes, because today I don't think I was very well researched on what I report on going on Disney happenings. But a lot of media companies are expanding into podcasting. Now, maybe somebody at MissouriNet has heard this show. Maybe one of them is listening right now. And in my head, I'm like, what if they want to be able to develop something with me where I could actually branch out and do something that I'd be more happy and thrilled to do and having my own show like this that I would get paid to do? I've had that thought in my head. What if? And what if? Because like when they say, if they come and say, so what sort of microphone would you like to have? I would tell them flat out, I would love to have an RE20 and a good mixer to use at home to record the podcast and do some other work from home. If they're wanting to go that far with me and they tell me that, hey, we actually wanted you to make a show for MissouriNet, you know how happy that would make me? Of course, I don't think they'd want a Disney show like I normally would do because Missouri, although we got some Disney history in Missouri, brother, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think they'd want me to do a Disney show, but my brain, even this morning in the shower, was like, what if they want to develop a podcast network and want me to make a show with them and I get paid enough to where I wouldn't necessarily be working at the radio station, even though I do enjoy it for at least 3 hours a day. The rest of the time is, I'm admin assistant. It's not the greatest thing, but it's full time and I'm working and I appreciate it. But the 3 hours that I'm kind of working on air, I like a lot better because that's what I'm trained to do and what I want to do. But I've just had that thought. What if MissouriNet wants me to be able to get a show going for them that would be podcast out, but even go out to all these different radio stations?
Yeah, you just brought an idea to me.
Oh.
Marvel Disney's What If. Remember the old comic book? Marvel's What If?
Yeah. Which the series is coming. The series is coming.
Marvel Disney's What If. What if Mickey had been bitten by a spider, and I can see him.
Oh no! What if Goofy had been injected with a super soldier serum?
That's it. You know,
didn't you draw something?
I did sew those.
I know you've done Mickey Spider-Man, but I think you've also done Mickey as Captain America.
Yeah,
but I think you've also done.
Well, that was the Avengers. That was the Avengers one.
But what would be great? I find that artwork. We should make a T-shirt.
Well, yeah, I'll
we do should.
It. Yeah. But what would be great is like the
Iron
Marvel Duff. Disney's What If, because I had Donald Duck from the X-Men one. I had Donald Duck as Wolverine. Well, Marvel Disney's What If, you know, because I had a Goofy Incredible Hulk once. It'd be like the one, remember the What If where it had the skull of Wolverine? Like, what if the Hulk had killed Wolverine?
Oh, the only one I really remember, because it's the one I had, is what if the Punisher had become Captain America? And it was good. It was really good.
What would be great is if they had Marvel's What If, or what if Wolverine had been killed by Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine now, Donald Duck is Wolverine.
Okay.
Goofy is Hulk. He kills Donald Duck.
Oh, that's terrible, though.
Oh, it's okay now. It's all right.
Donald Duck.
Well, it's Marvel's What If, so it's Marvel Disney's What If.
Oh. Yeah.
Gorse. Hulk smash.
I would almost like to see Pete, though, kind of a.
No, he'd be Hulk. Sabretooth.
Oh, Pete is Sabretooth. Because that part of my head, I'm thinking Runaway Brain, where they had kind of Pete was basically the monster.
Great.
That's how I can see Hulk.
That was great.
You better have Will and the Giant as Hulk.
You know, also, oh no, man, that would be no. Oh no, 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 Galactus.
Galactus.
I'm gonna have to do a Fantastic Four picture, and he's gonna be Galactus.
Oh my goodness.
Beep, I boop him. Eating planets. Doggone it, what are we doing?
coming up with some crazy stuff.
Darn you, now I'm going to start drawing.
Yeah. Oh, heck, you start drawing, we should make some t-shirts. But anyways, I want to wrap the show up, because I need to hit a restroom myself.
Sure, there you go.
And then we're going to watch some Picard, and coming up at some point in the show, we'll discuss the Picard series, maybe after it's all wrapped.
Yes.
So, because I've only got to watch two episodes.
And who wants to ruin anything?
Right, I don't want to spoil anything. But I want to do
it. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, so far I've been enjoying the two episodes I saw.
Well done. There's been six so far. I've watched them all.
The language has bothered me. It's in there. And I think somebody pointed out very well. I heard another podcast, The Real Brian, actually. Was they established in Star Trek 4 when they came home, isn't it? That they had gotten beyond any language like that. That they had evolved past it. So why is it back? But now you could use this is sort of almost a dystopian Starfleet. They're kind of falling apart. It's not the Starfleet they once were.
Yeah.
So maybe a language like that has come back. But it seems to establish that Star Trek shouldn't have F-bombs.
Well, quite honestly, the problem is sorry, folks, I am a pastor. Our society has fallen.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
That is true.
It's the new generation believes that it's cool to be this way. But in reality, it shows a lack of tact.
Yeah, that's true. But I've heard like Picard, Patrick Stewart himself kind of wanted to add some language in. Like, it doesn't fit.
He hasn't seemed to really do it himself on the show.
I know he's apparently been a producer and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But we'll discuss that when the series is completed and I get a chance to watch all of it. And then we'll delay just in case if you're watching it and you're interested in watching it, you'll get a chance to see it yourself.
Yes.
And we'll try not to spoil it for you, but I will warn you ahead of time. Hey, we're going to discuss the entire Picard series when that happens. So we're going to watch a couple episodes as you get some lunch and I eat my Reese's and after I hit the restroom.
Engage.
Make it so.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.